Hello and welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is an exciting episode. We are back, Liza and myself, up in here recording an episode for all of you. Liza, I think we need to do reintroductions because you have a new last name and I have a new first name since last time we recorded.
It's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Liza, what's your new last name?
Ian. Such a wow. It's so weird to say out loud. I like still don't associate it with myself.
You're a Mrs.
Very strange. Surreal.
Oh my god. So much has changed since we last recorded an episode together. It's crazy.
And what's your new first name? To the fans what the impetus behind changing a first name is.
Yeah. So in Judaism, it's very common for people to have what's called a Hebrew name when you're younger, like when you're first born. Many people, you know, will have like a baby naming. It's a very cute thing. So I grew up not so observant, but my parents did give me a Hebrew name. Ariella Dina is my Hebrew name and my English name is Danielle. And I never used my Hebrew name growing up. I was completely unaffiliated. And when I started becoming more observant, people definitely start to ask you for your Hebrew name. It's just a thing. So I had it on my radar, like my Hebrew name is Ariella Dina, like great. And just as the years have gone on and I've become more, I guess, enmeshed in Judaism and just building it more into my lifestyle, I've noticed that there's definitely a difference between how I feel when people call me Danielle versus when people call me Ariella. And it honestly got to a point where like there was such a split between who was calling me what that I was like, I just need to bring integration into my life and alignment, go by one name. It's very confusing. And I like I was having Hannah Montana moments left and right. People were so confused, like, what's your name? I'm like, what is my name? And now I'm just like, okay. Sorry.
It's wild.
That's the high level.
I feel like that explains why we haven't been on this podcast together for quite a while. Because we've both been going through some major transitions. But I'm glad that we're back here to share new perspective until old topics. Some new topics.
Yeah, I feel like we're both reborn and transitioning into higher versions of ourselves. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes you just need a little break to come back and reintroduce.
Yeah, I see people doing it on social and I really commend them. Like they take a step back and they disappear and then they come back and you could see like such a shift in energy.
Yeah. Let's talk about your shift in energy.
Part of it.
Wow. How many months have you been married?
Now it's been 4 months. So still very new to all of this.
This is wild. I would love to hear about your modest experience since getting married because I'm sure a lot has changed and a lot you have, you know, probably thought about at least, if not, you know, in practice lived out in Judaism. Hair covering is something that women take on when they become, you know, entering that status of marriage, but a lot of women don't. And so I'm wondering what your decision-making process was when it came to deciding whether or not to cover your hair.
Okay, so much to say. First of all, I want to commend anyone who covers their hair, whether they just got married or they're in a different faith and they've been doing this their whole life, or there's tons of women that maybe don't cover their hair but have other practices, like they don't cut their hair. And everything associated with a woman's hair is so personal, and like there's so much of a woman's like physical appearance is defined by her hair. Like people say when you see somebody, the first thing you notice is their hair, which is insanity. So it's really tough and it's something really hard to take on if anyone's doing that. So that's where I want to start. But before I even get into hair covering, because that's like a new thing and there's a lot that's changed with the old things, I want to backtrack and really explain what my like headspace was when it came to just relationships in general and the way that I dressed before I got married, because I think it'll give a lot of insight into the shift that's happened now that I am married. And I'm sure you can relate to this, Ariella, the like feeling that comes with, like, you know, I keep modesty, and I've always said this. I keep, like, you know, a more modest dress because it comes from a really personal place for me, and like it was brought on by religion, but it's turned into something that's just like a lifestyle and something I really believe in on a personal level. But even with all of that said, so much of the way that I chose to dress was defined by like the community that I wanted to be a part of. And when you want to be a part of a certain community and you want to marry within that community, there's a lot of pressure to look the part, because that's people's just like first reaction. So especially like, this is an example I can give within the Jewish community, and I know within the Muslim community, an example would be like, you know, if she wears the hijab or not. For us, a lot of the time, it's does she wear pants or not. If she only wears skirts, then she's a certain type of person. If she wears pants, she's another type of person. And I'm very much a pants girl. So I really like in dating, you know, I wanted to date somebody of a certain religious level, but I always felt like I couldn't get to that person if I didn't wear a skirt and only a skirt. So, or if I didn't, you know, cover my arms up to a certain length, like there were just certain qualifications. And as much as I think a lot of people from the outside look in and saw the way that I dressed as super like different and out there, like for me, it was so tame compared to where I could go and where I wanted to go. And I'd say that's like been the biggest shift now, is like, now that I'm married, and also I'm very, some people would say this is not a great thing, but for me, it's been a great thing. Like my husband's very indifferent to the way that I dress. He's also really into fashion. Like we both, you know, care about the way that we present ourselves to the world. But when it comes to modesty, like he sees it as a choice that's either personal or between me and God, not between me and him. So I've like had the flexibility to really define this for myself. And there's no more element of fear of like, what if I don't find this person? You know, what if nobody in this community wants to be with me? Like, I think the biggest thing I've realized is I'm probably not ever going to be a part of a specific community, because in a lot of ways, I'm just, you know, a little bit more this or a little bit more that. And I've learned to be okay with that. And it's a lot less scary. It's very scary. And I still think I got to a good place with it. But when I was alone versus now, and I'm like, even if I don't have a community, like I still have, you know, a husband that I have an amazing relationship with. So that's allowed me to have like a lot of space to define what modesty is for me. I want to just say that obviously religion still plays a huge role in this, and I have certain religious guidelines that I would never like move away from, but it's become a lot more of like an exercise where I look in the mirror and I either feel modest or I don't, and it has nothing to do with like if my elbows are covered or not, if I'm wearing, you know, pants or a skirt. Even I remember, you know, we went shopping. We had gone on like a little honeymoon to Paris, my husband and I. We went shopping, and I came out of the dressing room in this dress that I'm wearing today, which you guys can't see because this is a podcast, but it has like, it's a knit sweater dress with like a matching basically bralette over it. And that's something that I probably just wouldn't have even like tried on before I got married. But it, like for me, I put it on. I didn't feel like it was, you know, bringing attention to any certain area of my body. Sometimes you try something on and like it's clearly calling attention. But I didn't feel that. And I like will always, just out of respect, you know, sound check by my husband. I'll show it to him. I'll be like, do you feel like this is something that's going to make people, you know, look at me funny? And he was like, no, not at all. Like, I didn't think twice about it till you told me. And he's a man. So like, if he's not thinking about it, no one's thinking about it. And I was like, all right, that's it. I'm getting this dress. And it's like a piece in my wardrobe that makes me so happy. Not to say that I didn't have that before, but I just feel like I have a lot more freedom and flexibility to just be myself without, I'm sure there still is judgment, but without caring about the judgment.
It's so crazy how we work together every day and we don't have any of these conversations. I'm so grateful for this opportunity right now, because this is a huge part of your life and your experience with modesty that I just literally had no idea about.
It is. There's no time for anything. We have to have a podcast and explain to people like where we've gone for the past 6 months of the reflective and what to expect, because we've been on like actual overdrive.
I know. I mean, like, honestly, half the time I need it for my own sanity. Like, oh, right, this is what's happening. I really resonate with everything that you're saying, because on the other end, as someone who's still dating and still trying to find like my community and what community I want to be a part of, modesty is for sure a huge element in how I operate and how I go about that. Meaning, like, I don't want to say that a lot of my own personal standards are coming from a place of fear, because that's not true. There is still a certain element of belief in it. Like, I do believe that, like, I want to cover like my elbows because that's what feels good for me, not because that's what I know somebody else is going to approve of
right.
me. But I think there is definitely this huge dynamic when, you know, you're navigating fitting in and being a part of a community of like looking the part. And I think that's just such a important topic to bring up. And I think you said everything so beautifully. Like, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
It's a shift. But I also think it's important to acknowledge that, like, I don't regret, you know, the feelings that I had before, the fact that maybe I like reeled it in a little. Because first of all, like, I'm always proud of myself if I feel like I'm taking on, you know, more than I want to. Because I just think it's a vessel for growth. But I also just think that, like, it's a reality of life. And sometimes when we try and force ourselves to like push boundaries, you end up isolating yourself, or it's just, it comes off sometimes as a little bit like, it's not fair to you to do that to yourself and to separate yourself from people, community, whatever you want to call it. So I don't think there's any fault in that. I just am like grateful to be able to acknowledge and see the transition that comes with, you know, this next phase of, I don't know what to call it, life, stage of life.
How has your modesty evolved outside of, like, you saw this amazing dress that has bralette and you decided to get it? Are there other kind of areas that you notice yourself, I guess, just coming into your own, really, in?
Yeah, I think some things, actually, like going back to the pants argument, I expected myself to be a lot more flexible now, like, especially because I've been more flexible with everything else. And I thought, like, I'm just going to wear pants. Like, that's my thing. And now I can and whatever. But I actually haven't done that once. Like, I wear, you know, pants under a dress or a skirt, but like, I haven't worn them solo yet because it's very like gray area, questionable in the Jewish faith. And I think that's like surprised me the most, is to realize that, like, I don't know, I think it's like an inner consciousness, as crazy as that sounds, that like there were things that were a part of our faith specifically that like I looked at and just felt like were either invalid or like, because there was a leniency I could take, then like, let me go that more lenient route. But every time that I try to, I actually feel a shift in my like energy and what I'm putting out there. And I don't want to describe it as immodest, but it's definitely less modest than when I'm in something that's like, quote unquote, like allowed. That's why I feel like this level of humility of understanding that, like, yeah, I'm somebody very opinionated, especially when it comes to modest dress, but there is a level of like, I don't know everything. And there were people that came before me, rabbis, sages, whatever, you know, you want to call them. Every faith has like elders that, you know, had more of a connection, had more of like an in-depth relationship with the faith than I do, and had more insight to like how it was meant to be kept. And even if it's like something that's questionable or gray, it doesn't mean that it's something that like I'm above or that doesn't actually apply or that won't have an impact. So that's like the most surprising thing, is that I expected myself to like veer off even more than I have. And for a lot of reasons, I'm realizing that like that might not actually be the right path for me.
What? I'm trying to think of my exact question. I guess like what is coming up for you when you're thinking about, you know, wearing pants and then not wearing pants? Like, what are you noticing in your relationship to your modesty and like how it's impacting, you know, your relationship with yourself and with others? You mentioned like humility. You have more humility when you're wearing certain quote unquote more modest, which I don't even like that term, but more like dresses and skirts. Like, how are you noticing that affecting your relationship to yourself and other people and the way you interact outside of humility?
Really good question. I think just in general, sometimes we like mix up arrogance and confidence, and we all like never want to think that we're arrogant, but sometimes I feel like when I put on certain clothes or certain outfits that just make me feel a certain way, I become like a little bit arrogant about myself, and I don't love that side of myself. Versus when I wear things that are a little bit more refined, it's not that I lose my confidence or I'm not secure or I don't feel beautiful anymore. It's just like honed in a little bit. And I think that's where I take that transition from like arrogance to confidence. And that impacts my relationship with myself, my relationship with my husband, my relationship with like everyone in life. Like, I'm presenting myself, I'm showing up differently.
I'm curious about your style and how that might have shifted since getting married.
It's so weird because I didn't notice it, but I was recently with a group of women that I had never met before. So like this is their, they only met me as Liza Hakakian, and they, like, multiple women came to me and just told me how my style is so like boho. And I was so confused because I was like, I'm literally like leather jacket, biker boots, like so not boho. But I realized that like I do think I've taken a shift towards a more like anthro Free People.
What?
So strange. A lot more like neutral colors, like browns and tans, a lot less black and gray. Like, I don't think I have any gray in my wardrobe, which is crazy. I don't know where the shift comes from, but I do think it is a little bit more of like a feminine style.
That's exactly what I was wondering about.
Yeah, it is a little bit feminine, and I don't know that I like it yet. Like, when she said that, I was almost offended. I was like, no, I'm not, but maybe it's a good thing.
I find it fascinating, like, because I honestly have gone through a huge style transition myself over the last like year for sure, if not like really over the last 6 months. And I've leaned into more neutrals and basics and all of my color palette colors, and it's way more feminine. And it's just an interesting transition period. I haven't quite come out of it to be able to reflect on it completely, but that, like, there's something about this feminine style that's like connecting me to modesty in a different way, in a new way. It's just different. And I haven't come out of it far enough to be able to reflect on it yet, but I'm in it and it's interesting.
I've noticed it also in, like, you know, your OOTDs and what you share. And I do think it has to do also, like, something to recognize is like globally the trends are shifting towards that. But I also think for myself, the reason I wanted to like make a transition towards like more basic clothes also is because, and this is so not the topic here, and I know I could always talk about this, but from like a capsule wardrobe / like sustainability perspective, my life was getting so expensive trying to keep up with like prints and like all these exciting things that I was bringing into my wardrobe, instead of just finding, like, obviously you need a few pieces that make your wardrobe different and exciting and personal, but like I also needed like just staple core pieces to build outfits off of. And I like focused on it for the past 6 months of shopping more intentionally like that, and like not letting myself buy things that are really cute in the moment, but I know I'm going to get sick of after two wears because it's like such a bold print. And it's crazy like how much more variety, as weird as it sounds, that I have in my closet now. Like when I go pick a dress, there's like 15 different ways I could wear it because now I have a really solid blazer, I have really solid loafers, and I also have really solid boots. Like,
yeah, I will never forget the first purchase I made. Well, not the first purchase, but like the first investment purchase I made from our marketplace, which was over the summer, by the way, was this really expensive silk maxi skirt, but it just looked perfect. It really looked perfect. It was the exact right maxi I've been looking for, bias cut, elastic waistband, which I'm very sensory, so I love all things stretchy. And I was like, whatever, I'm gonna invest in this. It was a lot of money, and I have worn it, I kid you not, I think 3 times a week since July. Like, I wear it all the time, and it is the best purchase I have ever made. And it's just a black silk maxi skirt, but it's a staple. I wear it all the time. I'm so happy.
I agree with you. Like, I was wearing also, it's like a long sleeve maxi, like more fitted black dress in like a t-shirt material, like a jersey. And I paid what I would consider a ridiculous amount of money for that, but I wear it once a week. I wear it on every plane ride. The sleeves are like extra long. The length is extra long, which I'm like 5'9". So for me, that's impossible to find. And when you know something is going to like fit you well and be able to be worn in so many ways, so many varieties, like I wear it as a skirt also. That's when it's like, okay, I know I should be taking this plunge versus like, oh, I saw this on Bella Hadid, so I want it now.
I think we should end each episode with like a style or fashion-based question. Like copper drop.
I'm in.
Okay, Liza. Copper drop Uggs this season.
Drop.
Really?
Oh my God, I don't understand it. My whole family is wearing them.
Really?
I can assume yours is cop. Just given your reaction.
Honestly, I can't decide. I haven't bought them yet. And at this point, I think I missed the boat because I'm focused on spring now. Like, that's how fast we go. Although I do look at Uggs sometimes online. Like, I was on StockX last night because I really want those short Uggs that Bella Hadid wore when they first became popular. Actually, she's the one who made them popular, but that's a side note. But yeah, I'm not going to do it because I'm already on spring mode. Anyway, this was a great first episode back, Liza. Thank you so much for sharing your transition in modesty since becoming a Mrs. We have many more topics to go through and break down on this topic. We didn't even get to hair covering. So next episode, we will record on hair covering and maybe give a little status update on what's going on with the reflective. But until next time, please email me your thoughts and takeaways from this episode. You can email me at ariella@the-reflective.com. I would love to hear any questions that you have, anything that you're struggling with that you would like for us to speak on. And as always, if you liked this episode, please leave us a review on the podcast player of your choice. Thank you, and see you next week.